Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Lance Bullock. He's the Vice President of Mobile Solutions for Falafel Software, currently my mentor on all things Xamarin. Lance, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to be here today, Jesse.
It's good to have you here. And I recently had Lino on the show, so it's becoming all falafel all the time. But you're working in a whole different section. You're working in the mobile section for falafel, so I'm looking forward to talking about that.
That's right, and I will forewarn the listeners that Lino's a whole lot funnier than I am.
Lino's a whole lot funnier than anybody, frankly. So that's a high standard. So first of all, how long have you been with falafel?
I've been with falafel since May 2010. Mm-hmm. So I've been here, what's that, 3.5 years now?
Yes. And were you specifically brought in to be the mobile guy?
Yes, I was. At the time I arrived, falafel had not a lot of presence in mobile. I believe they had done some Windows CE projects, and that was pretty much the extent of it. So we wanted to enhance our presence in mobile development.
No, certainly that's happened, given Event Board, which we'll talk about, but that's a significant product for falafel, and that's, if I'm right, on all three of the major mobile platforms.
That's correct. Yeah, Eventport's kind of a fun story for me because it was kind of just a homegrown thing that came out of our own experiences.
Did it start out as a specific project or more as a spike and then it turned into a real product?
The very beginning of it was I think I had been working at falafel for about a week, and three or four of us were at the Google I/O conference. And as we were walking around, you know, we started to say, it would really be nice if we had some kind of a mobile app to tell us where sessions were and who was speaking and all that kind of stuff. It may have even been true that Google had a mobile app for that conference, but I don't believe we knew about it at the time. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where the idea came from. Our first couple versions, going on to your question, were specific apps, kind of, you know, hard-coded isn't exactly the correct term, but they were apps for specific conferences. So we released those, and they were, you know, moderately successful. And somewhere down the road, we had the idea to build this into a platform. So essentially to have more of a platform app where the conferences were loaded server side, giving us a lot more flexibility, you know, avoiding things like app store approvals and things like that. And one of the most exciting things about Event Board is that we can actually bring a conference live, you know, assuming there's some data in a spreadsheet or wherever, we can bring a conference live in a matter of a few hours.
And the same client is used across all conferences?
It's that depends what you mean by same client. So for Event Board currently, we, as you mentioned, we have three platforms. We have iOS, Android, Windows Phone. Actually, kind of goes outside of mobile, but we really have four platforms because we have a Windows 8 version as well. And they actually are different clients. They're all built natively. So we take advantage of the UI paradigm on each device. However, they are very similar in functionality.
But yes, let me just go back. What I meant originally was that the iOS version does not change from conference to conference.
That's correct. We do actually do some branding mm-hmm. in there. So part of the platform is that specific conferences can supply their own background images and customize the kind of secondary color for the app. So we try to bring some degree of customization to the specific conference.
Okay. And then each of the platforms was built native, which brings us to the question
That's
of the day
correct.
About native versus web versus hybrid. Maybe we could just start by defining all these terms.
Right. So Native is, of course, written in the using the Native language and foundation frameworks of the specific device. So, for iOS, we'd be talking Objective-C with Xcode. For Android, typically that's Eclipse would be the development environment with Java, although you do have some different options there. And, then Windows Phone is your Visual Studio with C#, .NET.
And then web, is that an application that runs on the browser in the phone?
It does. And so typically your web application will run in the browser. However, that's where we get to the definition of the hybrid app. So if you want to be in the App Store, typically it will need to be a hybrid app to some degree. And what's typically kind of at the simplest level, that would be a very thin skeleton UI using one of the embedded web controls. That's essentially just hosting your web app inside of that.
I see. So you would have an application in the store. Person downloads that application. It fires up a web control, essentially a browser within it, and then the application runs in that.
That's correct.
And what's the future for Eventport? Is it going to stay native, or is it going to move hybrid, or how do you see that?
Our plans as of now are to keep Eventport exactly the way it is. We of course, do have some trade-offs there. We're developing on multiple platforms. One of the benefits for Falafel itself is that doing that keeps us sharp. So no matter what we use, we need to know about the native capabilities of these platforms. And Eventport, being a real application, is something that enables us to do that.
Well, that brings up the obvious question of tools like Xamarin and Isenium, and how do they fit into that equation?
Yeah, so the kind of unspoken question there, which I always get, and it used to disturb me quite a bit, is which is the best way to develop a mobile application? You mentioned a couple specific solutions. So Xamarin is actually a development environment and framework based on Mono, which does build native applications and allows you to do them in C# or .NET. The other thing you mentioned was Isenium, which is actually just a development environment. It uses Cordova, which is also, that's a way to build a hybrid app that is also used by PhoneGap. But essentially what you're getting there is a web-based mobile application. So, I mentioned a minute ago, the question used to disturb me because I always wanted to have a definitive answer for that question. And what I figured out over the past few years is that there really is no answer to that question in general. The answer to that question is answered by a specific project. So both of these types of solutions, as well as, native development, if you throw that in there, have their own pros and cons and trade-offs. And, what we do at Falafel is we try to disconnect ourselves from, the religious debate of which is better. And we try to figure out which is better for the specific project. So each project has its own considerations. You have budget, the developer experience and resources available to our customer, time to market, performance, functionality. And when all those things are thrown together, the answer usually is one that's very specific to that project, what you should use. And here at Falafel, we feel that's the number one service we can bring to our customers is right from the beginning, helping them choose the correct tools, development environment for their solution.
So let me zero in for a moment on two products that I'm just personally interested in. Not that they're a preferred solution, but they're certainly an interesting pair of solutions, and that's Xamarin and Isenium. And before I ask you about how they compare to each other. One of the interesting things about them is their companies. Falafel, I know, has a very close relationship with Telerik. And what's the relationship between Falafel and Xamarin? Is that a strong relationship as well?
Yes, it is. And it's also something that we're working on, you know, every day to build that even stronger. Falafel has if you follow Falafel at all, you'll know that we have massive amounts of expertise in the C#, .NET, Microsoft world. And this fits right into us having an excellent relationship with Xamarin.
Well, I will say that when I started to learn Xamarin, I immediately got an email from Joe Hill, who's one of the founders of Xamarin, who was incredibly encouraging and turns out to live about, 150 yards from me. So that worked out very well. And I've had Miguel on yet another podcast, and they are two extraordinary and very kind and incredibly bright individuals. My sense is that Xamarin is just full of extraordinary people.
Yes, and I'll just mention, you reminded me of something. I went to their first Evolve conference. I believe it was their first back in April. And I was actually kind of blown away because for the size of the company they were, which is, you know, growing every day, as I understand, not only it had all the trappings, you know, as far as the multimedia and everything of one of the larger conferences put on by Microsoft or Google or Apple or someone like that. The excitement there was overwhelming. The folks in the rooms and the keynotes were just really excited about this product. And, you know, that was something that jumped out at me right away. It was something I wasn't really expecting, and it was quite a pleasant surprise.
Yes. Yes. So let me put you on the spot and ask you, do you think that Xamarin and Isenium are direct competitors? Do you think they see each other as the competition?
I can't really speak to what they see. And as far as my answer goes, I will refer back to my previous comments. I think, you know, at a high level in general, as the best way to build mobile, that technically they're very different. However, when I look at a specific project, as per my answer earlier, then of course they would be competitors because they're both a viable ways to build a mobile solution.
Right, but you're saying technically they're very different. So just say a little bit more about that. How are they different technically?
Sure. So as I mentioned, with Xamarin, the end result of what you're getting when you develop a solution using that is you're still getting a native solution. So it's a little different between iOS and Android. In the case of iOS, they're not allowed to generate executable code that actually then executes on the device. So that all needs to be ahead of time compiled down into native code. Mm-hmm. And on the Android side, you do have a runtime because that is allowed. But essentially, you're using all the native APIs and, you know, the native UI widgets are all wrapped by the Xamarin frameworks so that you access them from C#. And you're basically getting a native application. Isenium side, as I mentioned, Isenium's just a development environment. So what we're actually talking about there is HTML, JavaScript development in the hybrid container. That's, as I mentioned, also that's called Cordova. So you're not necessarily getting the real native UI there either. There's many frameworks that will kind of make it look like the native UI. And so that's how they're pretty much different technically.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I would say is that, you know, so in Xamarin, you're still developing the native UI for each platform. Although depending on your app, there's a lot of code you can share. So the one difference that jumps out is that Xamarin is not really a pure write once, run anywhere type of solution, whereas you can get a lot closer to that using something like Icinium and developing a hybrid app based on or using HTML and JavaScript.
Yes. But I guess the $64,000 question is whether the end user can tell the difference between a native application and a hybrid solution. Are they going to look at it and say, this doesn't look right or feel right, or is it going to be indistinguishable from a native app?
Well, so I'll flag my answer here as opinion. For the typical user, it may be a bit different. For myself, I can certainly tell the difference. And the interesting point I'll bring up, and I don't know if we'll get into this topic later, is I'm very curious to see what happens now that iOS has released, because in my opinion, they've done some things there that are going to be much more difficult to kind of emulate on the website. So I believe that gap may possibly widen a bit, but I don't really know that for sure until I see what these other frameworks come out with, trying to emulate the native look and feel in the browser.
So let's talk about iOS 7. The thing that stands out as a consumer is the move away from so-called skeuomorphism of having things look like real-world objects. And things certainly look now a little bit more abstracted, a little simpler, a little more digital. But what kinds of changes are you seeing that you think are going to have a big impact on hybrid apps?
So they're the whole kind of layout thing. First of all, there's some differences between, obviously the iOS 6 and 7 based on the device you're running on. So that could be interesting, within that. So you'll notice, if you have some newer hardware that one of the, although they have really flattened out the UI, when you look at a single layer, so, you know, button Chrome is gone, things like that, they have actually added some depth to the UI, much more than before. So they have these kind of blurred layers that kind of lay on top of other content. And so that's one thing. I'm a little curious how that's going to work, because even they themselves, you might notice that some of the older hardware does not support that, even the Apple hardware. So, you know, I have an old iPhone 4 and I don't get those blurred transparent layers.
Right.
So my assumption there is that, you know, that takes some significant horsepower to do that type of rendering.
Do you get on the 4, do you get the parallax changes that are now in iOS 7?
No, I don't get that either.
I mean, that's an extraordinary effect. It's very subtle, but it's unmistakable.
Right. So I think that's, you know, what some people are missing when you'll hear comments like iOS 7 is just like Android. It's just like Windows Phone. There's a lot of little, you know, kind of little things in there that don't immediately pop out to the forefront that are going on with kind of animation and layers and fluid motion that, you know, I believe does make it a little bit different. And this is kind of what I'm wondering when we see those in a web app, how different is that going to feel to the end user?
Let me switch you over, if I may, to Android, because as you know, I've started to learn Xamarin and specifically learn it for the Android platform. And you have quite a lot of experience on the Android platform. What am I going to run into there that's going to be particularly difficult or confusing, or what are my challenges going to be there?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I want to say real quick, really happy to have you on that endeavor. I think that's going to be a great thing, and really looking forward to what you're going to be bringing to Falafel and the Xamarin communities as well. So having said that, I can tell some Android war stories. By far, the most difficult thing for me to really wrap my head around was developing for the Android lifecycle. And, you know, I'll be honest and say our first versions of Eventboard were a little bit sketchy in that area because it really took some effort to kind of learn how things behave. And I'm not talking specifically about just implementing the life cycle. If you've looked at it, you'll see that they try to make it pretty clear. So the activity or the fragment has these life cycle callbacks, and they pretty cleanly define, you know, what they do. So there's the on create, the on pause, on stop, on destroy, all of those kind of things. However, putting those into practice, the difficulty was not really knowing what's happening, what the OS is doing with those things, because they're called differently in different circumstances. So, you know, getting a phone call or rotating the device, you know, one of the first things I learned the hard way is that rotating the device actually causes an activity to go all the way through the on destroy and a new one to be created.
Yes.
Starting the life cycle over again. So you can imagine what kind of implications that has if you're trying to store data or cache something inside of that activity. Along those same lines, Android has some different behaviors depending on how you leave your app, whether you push it to the background and or whether you back out of it with the back button and things like that. So it actually took me some time to kind of catch all those cases and figure out how I needed to implement my life cycle properly to deal with those issues.
Yes, I just today, and we can put a link to it, I just today did a short blog post on the fundamentals of the life cycle, but what you're telling me is it's one thing to understand the steps, and it's another thing to understand the implications and when they're called.
Yeah, you know, one of the clearest examples I can probably state verbally is that, so, you know, when I'm developing in iOS and you have, call it a stack or some hierarchy of screens, the app all kind of behaves as one. So there's a clear point somewhere early in the app you can load the data, let's say, and have that available to you. In the case of Android, you can code it that way, and you can totally miss the fact that at some point this user is three levels down in the screens. They've dug into a conference and a speaker and some sessions or something, you know, using EventPort as an example, and they push the app to the background, and somewhere down the line, the Android decides to kill that app. So what will happen is when they relaunch the app, Android will actually attempt to restore the app where you left it, even though it's been killed in the meantime. So this nice little clean place that I had in iOS to load the data and know that it was always there is basically doesn't exist in Android.
Yes.
So I need to combine that knowledge with use of the life cycle and other things to implement that correctly.
Okay, I'm scared now.
Yeah,
I'm worried.
I'll just finish up there. I don't know how long we have.
Plenty of time
to go into it. But one of the concepts I wrestled with for a long time was in Android the concept of a service. So I have some background in Windows development and services back then. I was trying to kind of make these two things equivalent, you know, some process running in the background with its own process or threads or whatever. And, you know, I kind of at first saw this Android service as a solution to all of my problems. And it turns out that it can be, but that's not exactly what you're getting out of the box. If I'm to put it quite simply for you, an Android service is simply a container that has a different life cycle than, say, an activity. And basically, to also put it simply, the life cycle is that the Android OS will attempt to kill a service a lot less aggressively than it will attempt to kill, you know, some kind of foreground process or UI-based activity.
Okay.
However, all that other stuff, that I was kind of expecting, like it being a process or just kind of existing on its own or having its own threads is not something you get for free. You still need to do all that work.
So let me ask you quickly, let's dive just for a second into the mud. You do get, with Xamarin, you do get memory management. Do you also get asynchronicity? Do you get the await keyword and management of threads, or are you on your own with that?
No, you do. In fact, that was one of the, when I first started working with Xamarin, both on iOS and Android, that was one of the things that hit me right away. So, you know, I work in a company here at Falafel with a whole lot of .NET and C# developers. And they were always, telling me about the beauty of the language. And I'll admit I kind of poo-pooed that a little bit. But, you know, in Xamarin, when I wrote my first shared layer, I used the await and the async keywords and, you know, some link and link to XML. And I basically did a lot of that model work that we do very, very elegant and simply. And the real beauty there is that it was not using the, you know, directly in code, the native constructs of, you know, Android or iOS. So I was able to use the same stuff on both platforms and basically avoid, you know, I already knew how they did their asynchronicity or multitasking, but it's different on each platform and I didn't need to dig into those details.
Right, because Xamarin made that available to you. Now, when I had Lino on, he made a particular point that, in his opinion, the UI was a different matter and needed to be much more native. But Xamarin and running in Visual Studio and or running in Xamarin Studio does provide a whole set of controls, what I think of as controls or widgets. Is there any reason not to use the layout and the controls that are available that way?
No, those actually are wrappers around the native stuff. So that is one benefit that you're getting from Xamarin. You're able to build some cross-platform code, specifically in the area, you know, of model code or business logic.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're also able to use the exact, you know, foundation or framework UI controls and have it look. It's not just looking exactly like a native app. Those pieces are actually native.
Oh, that's so great. So that
that's
you don't
a,
have
a nice
to...
trade-off you get. It's also why it's not, why I say it's not really a write once, run anywhere, because you're going to go and build those UIs differently in Android and iOS, but you are getting the benefit of having something really native there.
Yes, but you're going to build them differently, but you can still use the same IDE. You can still use Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio to build each of those separate UIs.
Right, and that's another thing I'll mention for cross-platform development. When I'm working in Xamarin, and I happen to use Xamarin Studio because I primarily do most of my work on a Mac, I can have both my iOS, my Android projects, my C# code, the UI designers for both. They're working on an iOS UI designer that's currently still in alpha or beta, I believe. But I can have all that stuff in the same development environment. There's no switching around between Eclipse and Xcode. So that's kind of an additional layer to the cross-platform.
Yes.
It's not just that I'm, you know, trying to build something where I can share code. I'm actually kind of developing on it in a cross-platform way, if that makes sense.
Yes. Before I let you go, I want to go back to something you said earlier, which is that Event Board runs not only on Android, iOS, and Windows Phone, but it also runs on Windows 8. And that's an interesting question as to whether Windows 8 is a mobile platform and where the reuse is there.
Yeah, it is. In fact, as I was giving you the answer, I was kind of thinking if I was correct, in segregating out Windows 8 from the mobile platforms.
Well, it's an interesting, I mean, I think it's a question that Microsoft is struggling with, because on the one hand, they're positioning Windows 8, or certainly the so-called modern applications, what we used to call the Metro applications, as mobile, and yet it is a desktop operating system. So they're really beginning to blur that line.
Right.
Now, with Xamarin, you get reuse Android, iOS, and Windows Phone. Can you take some of the Windows Phone and reuse that into Windows 8, or is that completely segregated?
I have to admit that that's not my area of expertise. In the case of EventBoard, I was the primary on the iOS and Android versions, and of course, as a good leader of mobile, I used our .NET and C# folks to build to build those versions. But I do believe there was a significant amount of reuse between those two platforms. And maybe one of those folks would be a great person to have on your next podcast.
So, Lance, as you know, I'm early in my learning process with Xamarin for Android. But I think a powerful question for a lot of developers is, can I learn Xamarin and be a solid Android and then iOS programmer, or do I need to go beyond that and learn the native programming to make the most out of Xamarin?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think my answer depends on what you mean by native programming. I believe it's absolutely fundamental, and it'll even be true using Xamarin, that you do need to learn how the native platforms function and what their APIs and frameworks are like. In the case of Xamarin, a lot of that is just wrapped anyway by, you know, C# objects. So you definitely need to know and learn that behavior. I'm of the opinion right now that as far as learning the language itself, which in the case of iOS or Android would be Objective-C or Java, I am not sure that's a necessity.
Good, because can, Java I can cope with, but I tried to learn Objective-C and it gave me a headache.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I'll say that about it. But, you know, just coming in thinking that your C# and your .NET will get you by is not going to work either. You're going to need to learn about, like earlier I mentioned, the Android lifecycle. That's definitely something you can't ignore. You need to know what classes and objects are available in the framework, and you need to know how the platform behaves and what the popular UI paradigms for each platform, what those are.